Chapter 20, if you got a Bible. First Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory over death right there because of the resurrection. Thank God in the soon coming of the Lord. And I'm glad for that. And then also too in the book of 1 John 5:4, he said, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Amen. So there is victory in Jesus. And that's the only victory you have, is in the Lord. I'm looking in the Word of God tonight, just a moment. In verse number 7, Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah is a discouraged prophet right here. Israel's rebelled on Jehovah God. They forsook the way of God. They're entering into captivity, the Babylon captivity. And Jeremiah's discouraged, no doubt, from not seeing any kind of repentance. And he says this to the Lord. He said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing." The word weary means I'm tired. And he said, "I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and he will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him. And we shall take our revenge on him." Sounds like America. Sounds like our country that's against the ways of God as a nation. I understand all this is a national message, which nations are made up of people. It's not just the land. It's the people that's in that land that have rebelled on God. But I just want to preach tonight, if the Lord will help me and touch me, I just want to preach a message on fire. I just feel like that's what God wanted me to talk about tonight.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jeremiah said, "There's fire in my bones." It looks like to me that God had done something in him that he just couldn't quit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of times in the Christian life we feel like quitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had never got there, thank God. But there has been times and trials and troubles, and you didn't seem like nobody really cared, and you kindly got under the tree of discouragement, and you didn't look to God, and you just kind of got like Jeremiah did, and said, "Well, what's the use? Ain't God, nobody's listening. It looks like there's no fruit coming from it." But there was something in him that kept him a-going, that said, "Thank God there's something shut up in me, and I can't stay like he is." And what was shut up in him is the Word. Amen. It was a Word God put in him. It was a Word God put in his heart. And I'm telling you, if ever been born by it, thank God it don't leave you. It might get put on the back burner sometime, but it'll come up. It'll burn in your heart, and you'll say, "I gotta tell it." Amen. That's right. I'm gonna say that word was in his heart. He said that in the Word of God. He said it was in my heart. It was hid there too. It was holy, amen. The Word of God's what burns in us.
Amen.
That's what we're saved by, is hearing the Word.
Right.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And when a man gets saved, that Word burns within him. Isn't it amazing of how you can look, my friend, at what's going on around you, and you can get down, even have kind of a low day, and open the Word of God, and it just seems like the light comes on, and the fire gets the kindling, and it starts to burning in your soul, and thank God you feel like going again. I'm telling you, that don't work like that. Unless you've been born again, amen. Amen. It just don't work like that unless you've been born again. I hope you don't take this wrong, but there's a lot of times as a preacher I come and I feel a little down sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
And this is what I say to myself. It'll pick up when I open the Scripture. It'll just pick up when I open the Scripture. I can't explain that, but I know it to be true that when I open this book, there's power in it, and there's unction in it, and there's zeal in it, and I figure this thing out why it's like that. Thank God the author's reading it, amen. The author's in me, the Holy Ghost, and when I read what the Word says, the Holy Ghost said that's what I authored, that's what I got inspired. And brother, if that don't stir you up, you probably won't get stirred. Amen. Amen. There, I tell you what, there's fire in the bones. He said it shut up. That's what he said. He said it shut up in my bones. Thank God for that. Amen. There's something, brother, that gets within a man. Thank God. And that says Word. And if it shuts up for a while, thank God, it'll come like a rushing wind in you. And like a, thank God, a river of water in you that wants to get out. And you're going to get it out somewhere. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. I told you the old record, old story. I used to preach at the Spencer Rest Home. Parents went with me. Of course, my wife, children, parents, Brother Bobby come down and sung. And we was in the nursing home part when we started. And they were real people there in wheelchairs. And they, a lot of them, you know, I mean, couldn't comprehend, couldn't half hear and everything else. But it was a blessing. It was a blessing. I look back on them days and it was just a blessing. I mean, I remember some of the people's names that was in there. And I'd get there early and I'd walk through the rest home, you know, nursing home, and I'd talk to people and try to get them to come. And my grandpa, he was the one at that. He'd go through there and he'd talk to all the people and get some of them to come. He'd push them in there. And there's an old man in there. His name was James Ivy Deal. That was his name. And he said he was a preacher. And, you know, you don't never know what went on at people's county. At the end of the road, and you don't know what kind of preacher they are, whether he really is a preacher, you know. And anyway, he come in for the service, and he sat in the back, kindly. And I got to preaching one day, and got stirred up a little bit, and after I got through, he stood up. And this is what that old man said. I've told you this before. That old man got up, and he said, "I feel it in my bones."
Yeah.
He started waving his arms. "I feel it in my bones." And that old man just stood up. He started walking around the rest home preaching. Amen. And you know what it was? It had been shut up in him. And he felt it within. And he had to get out and tell it. Amen. How much have it ever gets in you? Thank God. You got to have somewhere to let it go. And even Jeremiah had a bunch of people against him. And they went for him. Thank God he still had to fight. In him. Amen. I'm telling you one thing. The church needs a fire in them. Thank God over the Word of God. We don't have to have entertainment. But we need the Word of God. And we ought to be excited. Thank God about the Word of God. Amen. That's right. Ought to be a fire in us. Amen. Thank God that's what it says. Amen. Jeremiah had a fire in his bones. Then on St. Only was there fire in the bones, there's fire in the bush. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, it says this, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And the bush burned with fire and was not consumed. He had a meeting at the bush. Amen. Hey, the bush was on fire, but it never was burned up. You know why? Because he was in it. And everything he's in, it won't be consumed. Everything Jesus is in, it won't be consumed. I'm going to tell you what we need. We need some meetings with God. It wasn't nobody, just God and Moses. That's all it was. God had a call on him. God had a commission on him. And brother God, thank God, showed himself through a burning bush. And God said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You know why? Because God was around. Amen. It wasn't the ground. It was the God that was on the ground. I'm going to tell you one thing. When the bush burns in your life, and God's got a message for you, you better take heed to what he says. Amen. Thank God for them fine messages that God sends your way. Thank God through the Holy Ghost that speaks to your heart and awakens you to yourself. Thank God that you can hear what he's got to say. If you, my friend, thank God, run from it, it'll come back again. So heed what he's got to say. Listen to what he's got to say. When the fire burns, and there's a message, thank God, receive what he's got to tell you and do it. Amen.
That's right.
I'm telling you, I'm not up here, as old brother James Shaver said, bopping my gums. I'm up here to preach a message. Now, where's the fire at? It's in Jeremiah's bones. It's in the bush. But if God got his attention through fire in that bush, it wasn't consumed. And he heard the voice of God. Amen. Christ spake from the bush. And Christ was in the bush. And I'm just saying tonight, thank God, if you hear from him and God burns some things in your heart, why don't you take it? Amen. Listen, friend. God told Moses, he said, I want you to be the one to deliver my people. And it was up to Moses to obey what God said. Amen. Listen, friend. God might want somebody to preach. But I'm telling you one thing. You better listen to him when he talks to you. Amen. Amen, preacher. Thank God it took him 80 years to get there to hear the message. 40 years in the wilderness with a bunch of sheep. Isn't that amazing? Here God puts Moses with a few sheep to lead them for 40 years. Jethro, he was working for Jethro, his father-in-law. And now God says, I want you not to lead them sheep no more. I want you to take about over 2 million Jews and lead them. You know, every day, I believe Moses went out there to lead them sheep. He never had in mind that God was going to show up in a bush and call him. But he was just doing his daily duty. Can I give you something tonight? You just do every day what God says, and he'll come and tell you further what he wants you to do. But if you don't do what he's already told you, he's not going to give you no more instruction until you do what he's already instructed you to do. And the fact of it is, God never will use anybody, my friend, that's not obedient in the light God's already given them and the word God's already given them. And when they obey God there, God will talk to them some more. I preached to them young people today a little bit about that woman that says she done what she could. I said she never entered that house with the idea that Jesus is going to brag on me for what I'm doing. She came in there just with her heart to offer up that ointment upon his head. Thank God, because it was in her heart. And Jesus said that she done what she could. It wasn't the people that said it. It's him that said it. And it ought to set out for us to do everything we can. Amen. Do what God says do. That's right. And brother, I'm telling you tonight, when the bush burns in your life, when God gives you a message, then you ought to do what he says. And don't hold back. Amen. That's right. I guess Elijah was as fiery as a man in the Old Testament as anybody. He did pray down fire from heaven with a 63-word prayer one day amongst a bunch of false prophets and a bunch of devils that was running the country and they may have in Jezebel. He was a fiery prophet. He did have the power of God in his life. Amen. And Elijah did. Amen. And I must say this about Elijah. You didn't have to wonder what message he had. Amen. He said, he gave him a message. I'm going to tell you one thing about him too. He didn't have nobody with him backing him up. He didn't have somebody saying, tell it to him. He just had something from God. He went to Ahab and told him. And he said, it's not going to rain upon earth. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and God gave rain. And he said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God help us to have fervent praying and be like the men of God of old that had a message. But you don't get a message until God gives it to you. And when God gives it to you, thank God you want to go tell it. And how you get it, how you gotta tell it, amen.
That's right.
Ain't that right? That's right. Praise God. Amen. Old Billy Sunday said, he said, if a message don't have enough fire in it, it ought to be thrown in the fire. I'm telling you what we've done this day and time. We've tried to program God. And we've done made a plan up, but it's not that way, boys. It's just God. You follow God and do what God says. Amen. That's one thing we need to learn. It's not about us, it's about Him. But when God puts a message, listen, friend, every sermon is not a message. But I'll tell you what, if God gives a message, it's because God gave it. And we better heed to the message, amen.
Amen.
That's right. A message is, thank God, God's give you something special to go tell them. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. There's a lot of teaching and preaching and sermons, if you don't say it like that. But when it comes down to a message, it's thank God something from God. He said about John, he said there's a man sent from God. He had a message. Amen. What was the message? The Lamb of God's come. Behold the Lamb. And brother, I'm telling you, thank God, when God brings a message in a man's heart, he's got something to say. Amen. Thank God, fire in the bowls, fire in the bush, and then there's fire amongst the boys. And you know the record in Daniel 3. Here he built that golden image. And he said, when the music plays, you bow to it. I won't say tonight, the music's still playing.
Yes, sir.
If you read who bowed to it, it was every high official in that town.
Yes, sir.
Counselors and sheriffs and governors. I'm sick and tired of politically correct people.
Yeah, me too.
They can go jump in a lake 3 times and come up twice.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go.
I'm sick of that.
Yeah.
Why can't we tell the truth in this land anymore and say this is what God says? I'm not in the business of stirring up trouble over opinions, but when it comes down to speaking the truth, amen, and calling it for what it is, and calling us a bunch of hate mongers because we won't bow to their music or bow to the ecumenical way. I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you what, we ought to get thrown in. Praise God, I'd rather be thrown in than to bow down. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like what one fellow said. He said, God will either deliver you from the trouble or He'll be with you in the trouble.
Yeah.
That's right, ain't it? God will deliver me from the trouble or He'll be with me in the trouble.
Right.
I tell you what they hear with both of them. Both of them were classified in them Hebrews right there.
Right.
No, He delivered them. Thank God He was with them too. Amen.
Right.
Here they play this music and they start bowing down. Boy, it takes in my mind of maybe what goes through these boys' minds. I'd actually think, well, maybe we could sneak around the backside and we wouldn't offend the king and we wouldn't take our lives in hand or maybe get thrown in the fiery furnace if we just bow down a little bit. Nobody will see us. But the fact of it is God sees us and God knows what we're doing and God knows where we're at. And I'm telling you one thing. We ought not be two-mouthed.
Right.
We ought not be double-tongued.
Yes, sir.
Right.
So they tied them up. In fact, the men that threw them in, you've read the record.
Sure.
They put their hose on, all their coats and all that mess on, and they got up after fire, and the fire slew them.
Yes,
yes sir.
Amen. Killed them dead. You know why? They wasn't gods. There's a bunch of heathens following an ungodly king. I tell you what, he changed his mind though. He got his mind changed. And they wasn't protesting abortion clinics neither, son. They wasn't running around putting up, holding up signs saying, I protest the idol. They said, we just ain't bowing. We ain't going to. See, we don't have to advertise for ourselves. Amen?
Yeah, right.
Can I say something here? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm called to preach. I'm glad I'm a part of this church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But I don't have to wear that on a t-shirt.
Amen.
I don't specifically think it's wrong to have a scripture on your t-shirt. For sure it's not wrong. It's not wrong. But I don't have to brag who I am.
Right.
Right.
I brag on who He is.
Yeah.
Amen. I get tickled. I used to be like that. People say, I just want you to know what I believe. I say, well, tell me.
Yeah.
Take them a while. These boys didn't go there and say, hey, King, we not bound. We Baptist. Hey, shall we not bow to your God? We know our God. And our God's able to deliver us.
Yeah.
But if He don't,
amen.
We still not bowing.
Yeah.
We're not bowing. Amen.
Yeah.
He got so mad He turned the furnace up 7 times hotter.
Yeah. Right.
And He throws them in there, and this is a verse that stirred my heart. And He said, I see 4 men walking.
Yeah.
In the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt. Amen. You know why? The fourth man.
Yeah.
That's right.
The fourth man.
Right.
They said, if we go in and He don't deliver us, He's still God.
Yes.
And we're still not a bowing.
That's right.
I like it.
Yes.
Where is the boldness today? Oh, we don't want to offend nobody. Well, get out!
Yeah.
Get out of the Christian life! If you live for God, that'll be our offense!
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Beware when all men speak well of you. Isn't that right? Thank God there's some that speak well of you. That's a good testimony, but it'd be where all men speak well of you. So did they, the false prophets before us. That's what they said. They hated Jesus so bad that they hung Him on a tree, thought they had ended His life. Thank God they just forgot. He had already told me He's going to come back. Third day, He rose again. He's amongst the fire, son. The trials.
Yeah.
The pressure to bow in this day and time is as great as it ever has been.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we ought to act like a bunch of self-righteous Pharisees, but I think at the same time, praise God, we ought to be Christians.
Yeah.
And we ought not bow. Amen. That don't mean you have to say anything sometimes. Just your stand alone speaks for itself. But sometimes you do have to say, I'm not bowing. And this is what it said in verse 27, whose bodies the fire had no power. You ever thought this yourself? I know you have. You ever thought, Brother Danny, of all the miracles that God performed, all of them? Mm-hmm. I know this ain't going to happen, but let me just think about it. If God said to me, He said, I'm going to let you see one of them. Which one would I like to see more in you? This would be a pretty good one, wouldn't it? To actually see three men thrown in the fire and come out not even smell like smoke, not a hair on their head singed.
Yeah.
And the sorry rotten king said, there ain't no God like that God.
Yeah.
There's no other God like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's God. There's none that can deliver after this sort like them, amen.
Yeah.
Like God. That'd been something to be standing at the Red Sea that day and see Moses put that rod, son, see that wind blow. See it make walls and walk through on dry ground. I really thought about that. And I understand, though, there's no greater miracle than the resurrection. I mean, Jesus bodily rose again. I mean, He bodily rose Himself. I thought about that. You know which one I'd really like to have seen? I'd like to have seen Lazarus. I'd have liked to have been standing outside that tomb, Brother Danny, and hear my Lord say, Lazarus! Come forth. And all of a sudden see a man that's got grave clothes on floating out of a tomb.
I can see them.
Hey, man, son, I mean, what would it have been like if we'd have been there and seen it? I know there's great things, but I'll tell you what, thank God He rose of Lazarus, got him out of the grave. That's a great thing, amen. And you could go one after another, feed another 5,000. Saw him take two fish and five loaves and feed 5,000 men, women, and children.
Yeah,
women and children.
Right.
Amazing. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Sure is.
See him feed the Israelites for 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
Drop manna down, quail down.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing things. Now, I'm telling you what, these boys here was amongst fire. A fiery furnace.
Yeah.
And God delivered them.
Yeah.
Right. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing that we go through He can't deliver us from.
Amen.
I don't care where you at. You might think sometimes you thrown in the fiery furnace. You might think you sometimes thrown in a trial, a fire, and you feel like you got to be burned up. But I assure you, where He's at, His fury ain't going to burn. Amen. Fire in the bones, fire in the bush, fire amongst the boys. Then I'll say this and I'm through. There's fire in the burnings. Notice Isaiah 33:14. He said, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? That's talking about hell.
Yeah.
That's talking about hell. You know, there's been questioned down through the years, some apostates and some churches, which are apostates, have actually denied that there's fire in hell.
Yes.
But my Bible says
that's right.
He was tormented in that flame.
That's right.
My Bible said it's where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched.
Amen.
My Bible says if thy hand offend thee, pluck it off. It'd be better to go through life without your hand than to be cast into hell fire with your whole body.
Right.
That's what my Bible says. My Bible says whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
I can't fully give an explanation. I don't have to. That's what God said. You say, what kind of fire is it? It's a fire judgment. I do know that. And it is a tormenting place because the rich man said it was. And I do know that people that die without God and die lost and go to hell, that there's torment and they never escape the damn and the torment of it. Amen. They never do. Listen to me. If you go to hell, the worst thing you'll face in hell is separation from God and the torments of that separation. Son, remember in thy lifetime. Remember. Remember. Hey, there's a memory in hell. A man will have a memory in hell. He'll remember. The Bible said, son, remember. And there is a memory a man will have in hell, I'm telling you.
Right.
Eternity's this close to you tonight.
Right.
That's how David said, I'm but a step from death. One step. One step. I'm a step from it. I'm one step. I'm one breath. I'm one heartbeat.
Amen.
I'm just one command away that God says. That's it.
Yeah. Amen.
Ecclesiastes said, in the day of death, who can retain the spirit? No man can. In the day of death, there's nobody can retain their spirit. When God says it's it, it's it.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Yeah. It's too late.
You say, you think you're going to die tonight? No, and you don't neither.
Amen.
But it's possible.
Yes, yeah. Right.
It's possible.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to be old to die.
Right.
If we walk through the cemetery tonight, there'd be somebody buried there your age.
Right.
No matter what age you are, there'd be somebody buried there your age.
Yeah. Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
He said, well, the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched.
Right. Amen.
He said, the sinners are afraid. The hypocrites are amazed. Who shall dwell in the burnings?
Yeah.
In the fire of judgment. Why did he say God's a consuming fire? Why did he say that over there in the scripture talking about God? He talked about a fearful judgment. He talked about a fearful judgment. You know, judgment's not preached much no more. One reason is because the church has conditioned their heart away from it. Because you know what? Everybody goes to heaven according to the world. But according to God, only them that's been born again enter the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Narrow path.
It is a narrow path, and few there be that
that's right.
Find it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. Salvation will keep you. Salvation will keep you from the burning.
Yeah. Right.
It is fire in hell.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Right.
People go there.
Yeah.
Sure do.
Right. Family members go there.
Yeah.
But can I tell you something tonight? Jesus is the way to escape it.
Right.
Jesus is the way to escape it. If you want out of hell, the only way you'll get escape from hell and rescue from hell is you repent and come to Jesus.
Right.
Have you done that? Have you done that? Have you done that? Has there been a time in your life that the Holy Ghost dealt with you and you made your way to God? Have you done that? There's fire in hell. That's right. I preached on fire tonight. There's a whole lot more messages on that, but that's what the Lord gave me. I want to ask you a question. Not serious, most serious question you'll ever have to answer. It's the most serious. I mean, the most. You got a lot of. I mean, you're 16. You just turned 16. There's a lot of things you're going to answer in life. But I'm going to tell you what. You won't have to wait to answer any. You won't have to wait to answer whether you've been saved or not. That's right. You don't have to wait to answer that. You'll have to answer one day who you're going to marry. You'll answer one day where am I going to work. There's a lot of things you'll have to answer to. But the greatest question is this. Are you saved?
Yeah.
Amen.
And old Mr. Joe Henry Hankins preached the message one time. He said, being saved and nothing else matters.
Amen.
You must be saved. Nothing else matters. I wouldn't leave this church house tonight knowing I wasn't saved. I'd at least come to the altar and let God know I was interested. I know these little children have been praying on the altar, but you know what? I'd rather see them there while their heart's tender than one day when their heart's hard and they're scratching out of a church parking lot because they're mad at what the preacher preached. Let's stand tonight. I appreciate you being here.